Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, May 28th. I'm Sarith Hawk. A new report from the State Attorney General's office condemned the living conditions at ICE detention facilities across the state, including four in Kern County.
The facilities are completely ill-equipped and unprepared for the increase in the number of detainees, and we can see that in the lack of access to water, food, healthcare, clothing, bedding.
Today, we speak with Attorney General Rob Bonta to discuss the findings of this report. But first, these headlines. Former Democratic Valley Congressman T.J. Cox is expected to turn himself into federal prison this week. Cox agreed to plead guilty in 2024 to two charges of wire fraud. In exchange, prosecutors dropped almost all of the charges that led to his 2022 indictment. Cox was elected to Congress in 2018 after defeating Congressman David Valadao by a slim margin. Cox served one term before Valadao regained his seat. A new online portal for the city of Fresno could help ease a backlog of public record requests. Local news outlet GV Wire reports that a so-called transparency portal is being tested on the city's website. This will allow documents for public records requests to be sorted in one place. City officials hope it will cut the amount of time staff dedicate to fulfilling requests. Late-season storms have brought snow to parts of the Sierra Nevada. In Yosemite National Park, Tioga Pass is closed again this week. That's after it opened earlier than normal this year, thanks to light winter snowfall. Meanwhile, on the other side of the pass, Mammoth Mountain has announced it's using the snow to extend its ski season through June 7th. Yuba and Sutter County supervisors are supporting State Assemblymember James Gallagher's two-state solution. Both boards voted this week to back the proposal that would split California into separate states. Here's Sutter County Supervisor Dan Flores.
This resolution is not about anger from this board. It's not about division, and it's certainly not about abandoning California. For me, this is about sending a message that rural counties and Northern California communities feel unheard, and we feel overlooked, and we feel financially strained.
Flores and other supporters cite a number of issues they say divide inland and coastal counties, including water rights and wildfire protection. Governor Newsom and other Democratic leaders have dismissed Gallagher's resolution as a stunt that will go nowhere. Marquez Brothers International, a Hanford-based producer of Hispanic cheeses, is expanding. According to the Hanford Sentinel, the company has bought the property of a former Saputo cheese plant in Tulare with plans to remodel. Marquez Brothers International hopes to build a new infrastructure for processing their products.
Valley history is fascinating. Listen to KVPR's Central Valley Roots as we explore the stories of local people and places that make our community unique. Learn something new about our region. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our main story. At a time when mass deportation has been a prime focus of the federal government, immigration detention centers in California have swelled to meet demand. Eight immigration detention centers are now operating in the state, four of them in Kern County alone. The latest numbers show the population has surged to unprecedented levels within the last 2 years. And with this surge came worsening conditions. According to a new report from the California Attorney General's office, these facilities have been alarmingly unprepared to care for detainees, with insufficient staffing, overcrowding, and even deaths. The report shows six people died in two detention centers in the last year. Attorney General Rob Bonta called conditions inside, quote, cruel, inhumane, and unacceptable, after his office spent several days inspecting the facilities and interviewing detainees. I spoke to Attorney General Bonta about this latest report and what he hopes to change when these facilities remain under the federal government's control.
This fifth report should be seen in context of the other previous four reports. And what it shows is this, that there has been a massive increase in the number of detainees. The reason for that is Trump's mass deportation machine and his policies to round up more Californians and put them in detention centers. He's also taken on a position of having a no-bond policy in the past, because most of these detainees have no criminal history, are productive members of our community, have families, have jobs, have strong ties to their communities. They can be and should be and have been in the past released on bond during the pendency of their immigration proceedings. But Trump is not providing for that opportunity to be released on bond, and he's requiring that they be detained. And so we have massive increases in the number of detainees, over 100% increase and close to 200% increase. And the facilities are completely ill-equipped and unprepared for the increase in the number of detainees. And we can see that in the lack of access to water, food, healthcare, clothing, bedding. And that is one of the major changes and notable observations of this report, the massive increase in the number of detainees. But the second major takeaway for me was that what had already been substandard conditions got worse, deteriorated. So not just that they continued to be substandard, they became more substandard. You know, basic human necessities, clean water, nourishing, appetizing food, healthcare, like healthcare screenings upon entry into the detention center, and then appointments and follow-up appointments, enough bedding to stay warm when it's cold in the facility, basics not being provided. And all of these individuals, should they have been released on bond, could provide all of those things for themselves. But because they're in the facility and they can only receive what is provided to them, they're not being provided with basics. And taxpayers, Americans, should be infuriated. We're paying billions of dollars in contracts with Geo Group, CoreCivic, the for-profit private operators of these facilities, and they're not delivering on the contracts. They're reaping in the profits, and you know their stock price is going higher, but they're cutting corners, as you might expect, in order to maximize profit, cutting corners on staffing, on training, on services, on programs, on basics. And it's unacceptable, it's inhumane, it's cruel, and it needs to change.
And, you know, you talk about how there should be accountability for these companies. This is part of the reason why your office has issued these reports. What about any legal actions or complaints about the companies? Has that reached your office? Is there anything that, you know, could affect how these facilities are run?
Well, private parties have lawsuits. A number of them are pending. The detainees themselves who've been subject to these substandard conditions, or their families, particularly families who've lost a loved one who's been detained. And, you know, please note that we've had the highest number of deaths as this past year, as revealed in our report, six that we had in the facilities. And so that is a notable regression and notable deterioration of outcomes and conditions that were absolutely tragic and unacceptable. So there are some private lawsuits. Really, to quickly make a change that should be made and should never have had to be made, but can still be made going forward, all that needs to be done is ICE and the Department of Homeland Security just require the for-profit private operators, CoreCivic and Geo Group, to do what they are required to do under their contract. That's it. The contract requires them to provide potable, clean water at all times, to provide three nourishing, appetizing meals every day, to provide adequate health care. They're being paid the billions of dollars, but they're not providing it. So that's really where a lot of this responsibility lies, on the federal government, specifically ICE and Department of Homeland Security. Congress has an oversight role. Congress can have hearings. Congress can require more. They can require reform. They can and should. And so between ICE and the Department of Homeland Security, Congress, the private plaintiffs, there's a lot of potential for change here in the right direction if there's will and if there's appropriate action.
Yeah, so it sounds like these reports are really trying to do their due diligence to raise awareness about the issues. You focused on this last report from your office, focused on the conditions specifically of confinement. How do you think that this could lead to changes?
Well, for me, and as the saying has always been, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Transparency, openness, disclosure about what's happening inside, instead of being a black box where you just don't know. And, you know, it happens in the dark with no accountability or oversight. The revelations that we're providing in our reports, five of them now, should and can, and to some extent in the past have, led to needed change. They can lead to data-driven, evidence-based change, you know, based on a record that's unacceptable, inhumane, and cruel, to make it better. And so the report is a massive contribution to the continuum of change that needs to happen. But it requires action to be taken, and action that ICE and Department of Homeland Security can take, action that the for-profit private operators can take on their own if they just held themselves to do what is required in their contracts, action that Congress can take, action that private plaintiffs can take. So there's a lot of different folks, entities who can, based on our report, take necessary action.
Yeah, you know, your office has been really busy with legal battles against the Trump administration specifically. Dozens of lawsuits have been filed. How would you respond to critics who say that the reports from your office may be politically motivated from these detention centers? Have you ever considered maybe an independent committee to oversee these inspections?
I guess my reaction would be being perplexed, confused by the question. I don't understand the political motivation allegation or assertion. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I guess that would be my reaction. The law provides us the authority to conduct reports about what's happening in these facilities. Accountability, oversight is very uncontroversial. Everyone should have it. Certainly when billions of dollars are being spent for a for-profit private company to rake in the profits and being paid by taxpayer dollars, of course there should be oversight. Of course there should be accountability. Of course there should be a review of what's happening inside. And we should look at basic human needs and necessities like access to clean water and access to food and access to healthcare and access to clothing and bedding. Politically motivated, just completely perplexed by that assertion.
And before I let you go, Attorney General, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, Kern County. This is one of the areas that we serve. We know it's ground zero for the ag industry. It's also the birthplace of the modern farm worker movement in California, in the city of Delano. But half of all federal immigration detention facilities in the state are located in Kern County. There's four in total. Why do you think that is? How do you view this contradiction? Especially, I know your family's had a big role in the farm worker labor movement.
The federal government decides where they're going to put these facilities, and they've, as you've mentioned, largely put them in, you know, the Central Valley. There's some in, you know, in Imperial and San Diego County as well. So mostly in the southern parts of the state and the Central Valley part of the state. There's attempts to add others, as you, I'm sure you're aware, including in Santa Clara County and Gilroy. So it's not just Kern County, but you're right. There's a concentration of these facilities in Kern County. The juxtaposition against the history and legacy of justice, of the farm worker movement, I think there's quite a few contrasts that exist in our state. You know, there's Kern County, there's much of Kern County that's not aligned with what the farm worker movement. And sometimes these movements build and arise out of, you know, in places of some of the most concentrated injustice. That's why they exist. That's why they formed. That's their reason for being, their genesis. And so I don't know if it's an irony or if it's a contradiction. I think there's an organic component to what you've described, that out of injustice, movements for justice arise.
Rob Bonta, California State Attorney General, thanks so much for joining me.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you for having me.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.